Courage is one of the most beautiful characteristics we can find in a fellow human being. We admire bravery. We find it truly inspirational. Heroic men and women of the past are often held up to in front of us to lift up our sights and to make us aim higher and aim for better things. One such man from the past is this man called Joshua, who lived around the 1300s BC. What an example Joshua is to us of bravery and courage, leading the nation of Israel into the land of Canaan, conquering that great city of Jericho. What a man Joshua was. The picture we perhaps have of Joshua is of this Hercules kind of figure, a strong, forthright, unswerving, unflappable leader. But he wasn't always that way. We're going to see this evening, even Joshua needed courage. Even Joshua needed strength. Last week, we began a mini-series in this opening chapter of the book of Joshua, God's commission to him in verses 1 to 9. And they are for us God's words for a new year. We thought last week of the promise of God's presence. I will never leave you or forsake you. And we need these words for a new year. We don't know what this year will hold. There are perhaps disappointments, heartaches, surgeries, calamities ahead of us. And we need strength and courage. And so we come this evening to our second address, God's words to Joshua, found in verses 6, 7 and 9. God's command to be strong and courageous. Let's read together those verses again, verses 6, 7 and 9. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Then verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. God's command to be strong and courageous. And I trust these words will be as helpful to us as they were to Joshua as we walk through this year together. So firstly, the need to be strong and courageous. The need to be strong and courageous. Three times in these verses, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Not once, not twice, but three times. Now, what sort of a picture does that give you of Joshua? Do you think Joshua was a confident, assured, courageous leader at this point? I don't think so. Surely Joshua needed this strength. Surely he needed this courage. Remember, he has great reason to be afraid. Moses, the former leader, the former hero of the Israelites, has just died. He was the one who, under God, led the Israelites out of their slavery in Egypt over 40 years ago, and he's brought them right to the brink of the promised land. Here they are, poised to enter, but Moses has died. How can they enter Canaan without their great leader? As well as that, Canaan isn't going to be a pushover. The people inside Canaan, they're inside well-fortified cities. They're well-armed. I compared it last week to Regent House under 12C rugby team coming up against the All Blacks. Standing there as the New Zealand rugby players perform their haka, these burly giants of men. On paper, Israel don't have a hope.
And Joshua is looking, you could perhaps picture him actually looking over the Jordan into Canaan. Remember, he's been there. He was part of the spy team sent out. He knows what the cities look like. He's seen those armies. He knew exactly the challenge ahead of them. He must have been afraid. On top of that, the circumstances seemed totally wrong. In verse 2 of this chapter, God instructs him to cross the Jordan. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give you. But later in Joshua, in chapter 3, verse 15, we read, "Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest." So the Jordan River was in flood. So don't think of a stream that Joshua and his troops would be able to take a running jump and get over. This is a raging torrent, probably a mile wide, scholars suggest. No easy thing, let alone bringing along the great number of the nation of Israel. Again, they think there was about 2 million people in the nation of Israel at this point. The circumstances are all against Joshua. And so surely we're not surprised to find out that he's a little discouraged. He feels fairly weak. He's pretty frightened. He must have been thinking, "What will I do?" But friends, that's exactly the sort of man, Scripture tells us over and over again, that's exactly the type of person that God uses. He chooses and uses the most unlikely of materials, people like Joshua, people like us. And so three times here God commands him, be strong and courageous. Because Joshua certainly needed this strength and courage. As do we all. Now, we're not called to lead an army. We are not all called to conquer. We're not all called to such positions of prominence as Joshua was, but all of us are in testing situations from time to time that demand courage, that demand strength, that demand God's people to stand up and be counted. Perhaps you have a testing situation this week, a Jordan to cross, or a battle to face, or a preaching assessment to undertake. Perhaps it has been a long time in your Christian life and you feel weary, and you feel frightened, perhaps discouraged. Perhaps as you look at your situation from the human point of view, it's easy to be afraid. Exams coming up. An interview. A job application to submit. Like Joshua here, you feel weak and you feel cowardly. Perhaps there are difficulties in your home life, in your family, or in your work. Perhaps there are difficulties in your personal life that no one else perhaps knows about. And you look into the future and you have no idea how you're going to proceed. God says, be strong. Be strong and courageous. He commands you. That's the force of the phrase here. Be strong and courageous. Look, Joshua, you need to be strong. You have to be strong. You have to be courageous. He is to take heart and to have backbone for the mission God has called him. God's people today are to be likewise. There is this need to be strong and courageous. The need to be strong and courageous. Secondly then, the repeated command to be strong and courageous. The repeated command to be strong and courageous. And many of you will know that if something's repeated in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, that emphasizes its importance, it's stressing it, it's underlining it, highlighting it, if it's repeated. And so, please take your Bibles in your hands. Look back with me just at the book previous to Joshua, the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, we find God talking to Moses. Deuteronomy 1, verse 38. We're going to be looking at a few references here. God's talking to Moses, and he says to Moses, Deuteronomy 1, 38, "As for you, Moses, you won't enter Canaan, but your assistant Joshua will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it." So here at the very outset, God says to Moses, "Look, Moses, you're going to need to encourage this man, Joshua." Then turn to chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 3, verse 28. Chapter 3, verse 28. Again, speaking to Moses, "But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see." Again, Moses, you need to encourage Joshua. Then turn to the end of Deuteronomy chapter 31. Near the end, chapter 31, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance.'" So here we have Moses giving the instruction to Joshua, "Look, be strong and courageous." And then turn to verse 23 of the same chapter. Chapter 31, verse 23. This time God speaks directly to Joshua. "The Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun, 'Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you.'" So four times in the book of Deuteronomy, we have this message that God wants Joshua to hear. Be strong, be courageous. Add to that the three times that we've looked at already in Joshua 1, and you have seven times God communicating this message, this command to Joshua. Seven times. How important must this command be? Why do you think God should say this command seven times? Well, perhaps one reason is because everyone could see Joshua's knees were knocking together. Everyone could see that he needed to be encouraged and strengthened for this task. But I think there's an even greater reason. I don't think it's because Joshua was thick or slow to pick up this communication. I don't think it was because Joshua kept forgetting what God was saying. Could it be that God knew what Joshua was like? Could it be that God knew that Joshua was inclined to be afraid? God knew what his fears were. Isn't that just wonderful? Because, friends, God knows exactly what you are made of. And he knows what causes you to tremble. And he knows what your own individual set of fears are. He knows that you need to be strengthened and encouraged. Notice that when God repeats this command, he never scolds Joshua. He never has to get cross with him. He never despises him, because he knows what makes him tremble. How well he understands us. How well he understands you. He knows how you so often need encouragement and assurance. How you so often need strength. How you need to be repeatedly strengthened and repeatedly encouraged. God knows his servants. And he knows what disturbs you, and He doesn't despise you. He doesn't look down on you. We sang from Psalm 103, verse 14, "For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." God knew exactly what Joshua was like. And he knew that Joshua needed to hear these words over and over and over again, that he was prone to feeling weak and cowardly. God knows exactly what you are like. And he knows how you need strength and courage. So the repeated command, don't miss, Deuteronomy is full of it, and then opening of Joshua, this repeated command, be strong and courageous. So then the need to be strong and courageous, the repeated command. Thirdly, how does God strengthen and encourage us? How does this all work out? How does God strengthen and encourage us? It's all well and good, God commanding us to be strong and courageous. We know that we need to be strong and courageous. And it's helpful, isn't it, to know that God knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what we're like. That's all well and good. But how does God strengthen and encourage us? Well, let me direct your attention to verses 16 to 18 of this chapter. So Joshua 1, verses 16 to 18. Joshua has just been speaking to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And in verse 16, they respond to Joshua. "Then they answered Joshua, 'Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death.'" And then listen. "Only be strong and courageous." Now, again, for the eighth time in Joshua's life that we know of, he hears these words coming back at him. Be strong and courageous. And this time it's not from Moses, and it's not from God, but it's from the people of God that he hears these words. Because you see, friends, it's through his people that God strengthens and encourages. It's through his people that he strengthens and encourages. That's what he often does. He uses his people to strengthen and encourage his servants. That's the way he often works. It's not very glamorous. It's not what many of us would prefer to have, perhaps. Isn't it true that if we had our way, we would rather that God sustained us and heartened us by perhaps some sort of a vision, or maybe a dramatic dream, or some kind of personal revelation, maybe a quiet moment as you're thinking and the moon shines down on you as you're sitting on the beach. Somehow God gives this silent encouragement. It's all very moving. Sometimes we wish that we had this kind of a moving, emotional experience. But more often, the Lord does it in a more ordinary and sometimes a messy way. Just through another of his sinful, weak human vessels. That man, or that woman, or that young person who is used to be an avenue of encouragement and strength to you. Not very dramatic, but it's the way God works. Those are the people God uses. I'm sure you can all think of people who have been great sources of strength and encouragement to you. People God has used to strengthen you. That's his way. And notice that the way these people encourage Joshua
is that they simply repeat God's word to him. They repeat the command, be strong and courageous. They urge him to hold on to that word. So let me suggest that that's a way that we can encourage and strengthen one another. I would like to hope that many of us here this evening have received a card, perhaps in the post, or maybe even a text message where somebody has encouraged you with a verse of Scripture, or strengthened you with a verse of Scripture at one point or another. That's exactly what we're talking about. We can be strengtheners and encouragers. This is something that happens every Lord's Day here in this building. When we gather together for worship, we're not only meeting God, but we're here to encourage one another, strengthen one another, spur one another on. We were thinking about this morning. That means on the Lord's Day, it means at midweek meetings, means when our young people meet together, we're actually encouraging and strengthening other believers. Didn't we see that from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25? Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. When we neglect to meet together, we don't encourage or strengthen each other. Many of you will have heard me refer about Robert Murray McShane several times from this pulpit. He was a minister in the 1800s in Scotland. And he was quite often laid low through illness in his ministry, and he would have to miss church from time to time. And when he missed church, he would go to the country for recuperation. And he would often complain about having a bad watch. His watch wasn't very good at keeping time. It slowed down and it occasionally stopped. And he complained that when he was in the country at these occasions, his watch would keep terrible time. It would be awful at keeping the time because there was no other clocks or no other people around to help him keep the right time. But when he went into the town, he was surrounded by clocks and surrounded by people with watches that he would be able to regulate his own watch by. And he was saying, this is what it's like meeting with the people of God together. They maintain your spiritual clock. And when you're not with the people of God, your spiritual clock slows. It keeps poor time. It might eventually stop and die altogether. He was saying something like this. We need to be with one another to encourage and to strengthen one another. Now, the Bible teaches, interestingly, as well, that when we sing, we're not only singing to God, but we're singing to one another. Have you ever thought about that? That when we worship, we're actually singing to one another. Colossians 3, verse 16. Teaching and admonishing one another as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. So perhaps there are times when you come to worship and you're so weak and so deprived of courage that you can't sing when you come here. Well, friend, you can listen as your brothers and sisters around you sing for you and sing to you. We're going to be singing from Psalm 31 in a few moments, and its closing words are an example of how we could do this. They read, so then be strong, take to your heart the courage he will send, all you whose hope and confidence do on the Lord depend. That's an example of teaching and admonishing, encouraging one another, even as we sing. Friends, let's make a conscious effort to do better at strengthening and encouraging one another. It doesn't take a great deal of effort to send an email, to send a text message, to send a card in the post,
to send a Facebook message. We have everyone's addresses on the back of our annual reports. What about sending a note to somebody in the congregation? One of your elders, one of your deacons. What about that mother who just feels absolutely frazzled? What about that individual who is burdened with cares for other people? What about your minister? Or think further afield, young people. What about your officer from camp? What about our missionaries? The list is endless. Why don't we resolve to do our best to encourage and strengthen someone this week? Because how does God strengthen and encourage his people? Very often, it is through his people. Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up." Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Amen.